Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Welcome to the NBA Roadshow, episode number 206 and a half. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is not with me up here in Wichita, Kansas, but he is on that grind back home in Las Vegas, and he will be editing all this wonderful stuff together once we get done sitting down and talking about UFC on ESPN Plus 4, Lewis versus Dos Santos. It was a fun night of fights. It's Intrust Bank Arena here in Wichita. Some slow moments, I guess. You know, you had a big run of decisions. I thought the fights were still overall pretty entertaining, but you did have a big run of decisions for quite a while that may have kind of stagnated the pace a little bit. But anytime you finish on three stoppages like we got in the final three fights, you kind of go out, I think, on a high note, man. It did feel like the crowd was happy as they walked out the door, you know, and I think that's what it's always about. So not a massive crowd. 7,265 was the announced attendance for a $636,000 gate. It was just the lower bowl only in the building, but by the main event it was full, and there was a very nice feeling to it, man. I was working in the back most of the night, but I did make it out for the main event. And, man, the tension was there. You could feel the tension in the air for Junior Dos Santos versus Derek Lewis. I thought a very pro-Derek Lewis crowd. And, you know, obviously people love and respect Junior Dos Santos for what he's accomplished and what he's done in the sport. And he's just such a nice dude, man. He is among the nicest human beings in the sport of mixed martial arts, no question. But, you know, Derek's got that attitude. He's got that edge to him with the way he fights. And, of course, he's got the sense of humor as well. So it did feel like a pretty pro-Derek Lewis crowd. But more than anything, man, it was just a feel of the tension between these two, man. Two heavyweight knockout artists. And, you know, kind of like we said going in, right? It was Derek Lewis's power versus Junior Dos Santos' speed, his technical striking, his more well-roundedness, and it ended up being fun, man. I liked it. You know, the ending, I don't want to say anticlimactic, but I think we were all hoping for something a little bit more decisive, perhaps, than what we got. But it was definitely tense for everything that happened, and the big body shot, the kick to the ribs. Had Derek Lewis doubled over in pain, but then, you know, then it kind of looked like he was, you know, baiting Junior Dos Santos in a little bit and playing possum, and I thought maybe he was just kind of trying to draw Junior in so he could catch him with one of those big shots, and he did nearly do that, but then it did look over time as if he really was in some serious pain, and of course the fight ended in the second round via TKO, 1 minute and 58 seconds. Originally, I thought maybe there was a broken rib, and I think I heard another journalist say that the broadcast, of course, I wasn't watching the broadcast, that maybe there was some mention of broken ribs. I can say that Derek Lewis wasn't transported to the hospital afterwards, so I'm thinking maybe it was just more of, you know, the liver shot or the body shot that shut you down than it was a broken rib. I thought he broke a rib too. The way he was holding it and the way he was moving, I thought it was more than just a liver shot, but maybe that was the case. So I don't believe he went to the hospital, at least not immediately. Perhaps he did go later, but I will say Derek did not talk to the media afterwards, so we did not get a chance to speak with him. I know he was bummed, you know, seeing him walk by press row. He was definitely upset and frustrated at the result. So I thought Derek fought well, man. I really did. The kicks, he was doing some different things. He tried a takedown. I didn't necessarily love the takedown attempt, but he did give it a shot. But it wasn't effective, of course. And instead, Junior Dos Santos weathered the storm. He got clipped once, but he was able to survive it. And, a big win for Junior Dos Santos. And, you know, I thought it was a fairly impressive performance. This is back-to-back victories, excuse me, 3-in-a-row victories now since the comeback. Derek Lewis, Tai Tuivasa, Blagoy, even off the 3 wins since he's been back in action. And Junior's saying he wants to stay busy. He's saying, keep me going. You know, I want to get my belt back. I am focused on getting back to the heavyweight title. And I'll fight whoever it takes to get there. And I think there's some options. You know, we still kind of don't know what's going on with Daniel Cormier. You know, I don't think Junior Santos is next for a championship shot just yet. But, you know, he's putting together this increasingly nice body of work. But this was a big win. There just are a couple bodies in front of him. Junior's not happy with where he stands in the rankings. But he said, listen, I do want to stay active. I do want to keep fighting. I just want to keep fighting people that are going to move me closer to a title shot. And, you know, I think he deserves it. I think he deserves some shots. I think there's some interesting matchups out there. You know, Ngannou had a little tweet. Francis Ngannou, I who wouldn't want to see that fight? Between Ngannou and JDS, I would love to see that. You know, I heard some people on Twitter reaching out saying, hey, what about a Stipe matchup as well? You know, could we run that one back? You know, that's always on the table as well. Stipe wants, you know, a big fight as well because he wants to get back to the title. I don't think he's, you know, still looks like it's DC. And, I don't know if this DC and Brock fight's going to happen, but, you know, it doesn't seem like anybody's in a rush to make it right now. But that's certainly the opportunity that DC wants. And I think, you know, Dana has said multiple times he wants to give it to him because he's a big fan of DC and he wants to put this big money fight together as a thank you to DC as well. Not to mention the fact that it would generate a lot of revenue would be good for the UFC. But, you know, I got to think that Junior could be maybe one fight out. And so you get the right opponent, and you could get yourself in a good one. So this was a fun fight, man. The tension, like I said, you know, look, Derek Lewis fights are not going to be fast-paced, flyweight action going back and forth, man. He's loading up for the one shots. But I thought he was moving okay. You know, if his back was bothering him, it sure didn't seem to be. I thought he was moving okay, you know, pacing himself the way he does. He knows he can't go 25 minutes all out, so he tries to pick his spots. And again, just missed on a couple shots. The kicks did land heavy. And I was impressed by both guys, man. It wasn't, you know, an all-time classic by any stretch of the imagination, but the tension was in the air. And I thought it was a big, big win for Junior Santos. So, listen, he came back and spoke to us afterwards. It was very, very small media contingent. You won't hear a lot of voices in here. This is a lot of me. There was not a massive turnout here in Wichita. Apparently, there were a lot of local sports going on. We were told that were taking some of the local coverage, and so not a ton of media there. But this is what Junior Dos Santos had to say when he came back to the back.
It's been tough, but I did it, Adrian.
But Junior, talk about that fight. I mean, it was tense. It seemed like every moment in there was scary for both of you guys, as hard as you were throwing. So what was the feeling of that fight like?
Yeah, it was a good challenge. You know, I know how dangerous he is. You know, and so I was trying to avoid those punches, and one of them connected, but I didn't feel too much. You know, I could feel that he has a lot of power, but man, I like to position myself in a better way to connect better punches.
Yeah. He threw a lot of kicks as well. Did that surprise you?
Not really. I was expecting those kicks because he does a lot of those type of kicks, you know. But it was harder than I thought, you know. He kicks pretty hard.
Yeah. When you hit him with that kick to the body, what did you think? Because at first it looked like he was really hurt, and then it looked like maybe he was – playing possum a little bit to bait you in. What did you think?
He was hurt, but that's the thing, you know. We were studying him before, and my coach Dora told me, you know, as soon as he feels any punch or kick or anything, you know, don't go too crazy because he can be pretending or trying, you know. Even if he's feeling, he can try something else like he did, you know. But luckily, that didn't connect, and I was able to reestablish myself and wait. I told myself, we have 5 rounds to do this. Don't be crazy, you know. You don't need to. Because he was expecting that, you know, for me to collide against him because that was the biggest chances for him, you know. So I didn't do that, and I think, you know, it was good.
Yeah, no, definitely good. Early on, there was some concern of, like, an eye poke, but I think you pointed that it was the glove. That it was not.
Yeah, I was telling the Herb Dean, you know, he said no. He said that he saw I was with open hands. I wasn't. I told him, better you see again, because I wasn't. You know, I was with my hand closed. This finger was kind of on his eye.
Right.
Not like this, like this, you know, and like a punch, you know. So I told him, you know, it wasn't open hand. It was a closed hand, you know. So, but yeah, everything was fine. Actually, you know, Derek Lewis, I could see that on his fights too. You know, he complains a lot. Every time he got hit or something, you know, he complains a lot. He tried to, I don't know if he's trying to take advantage of the moment or something, but he complains a lot. As soon as I, you know, he was telling the referee, I felt my eye or something, I said, you know, it doesn't make sense, but that's fine. He was fine. He was fine. You know, right. you can see on the camera, you know, he was fine.
He looked on the replay.
Yeah, that, it doesn't make any sense, but that's fine. You know, the referee, Herb Dean, man, he's the greatest on this business, and I trust him, you know. And that's why I told him, you know, my hands weren't open.
Yeah. And talking about the finish, I mean, you said you had five rounds, but did you have an idea that, hey, now's the time, he's going to be out of here?
Yeah, I was, you know, I work a lot of combinations with my coach. I really believe in my hands, on my boxing skills. I really believe I can knock anyone out. You know, this guy, you know, nobody, I think, finished him like this before, you know. But I knew I could, you know, because I have the power to that. And everything what it took, you know, was patient and be wise during the fight, you know. Position yourself in a good way and try to hit him the hardest you can. I was calling this fight in the second round because I knew I could study a little bit of him on the first and go a little harder on the second, you know. But of course, always with caution. And but I think I did great. But I was able to fight five rounds, you know, and maybe win by points like we have. You know, we always say you have to be smart, you know, fight smart.
Yeah. Last thing for me, I mean, I know you said you want to stay busy and you want to work towards the belt. We don't really know what DC's doing right now. So, I mean, give me an idea. Is there a month or a date that you feel like you need to fight? And is there a name if it's not a title fight? I mean, how do you see this year going for you?
The main goal is to keep active, you know, and let's see what's gonna happen now. But now, actually, I need a little break. You know, my daughter is due on May. Is that right?
Yeah.
So I need to set everything up to receive her and make sure that everything's fine. Then I'll fight again, maybe at the end of August. And about opponents, I don't really care, you know, about who I'm gonna be fighting again. I hope. Of course, what I want is to add something, you know, on my career, because you can see this ranking thing, you know, that's crazy, man. But yeah, let's see what's gonna happen. But there's many, many options for sure.
In Lewis's corner, in between, you know, round one and two, he was told to hurry up and try to knock you out. Did you notice an uptick in round two? Did he come out with the sense of urgency in the second round?
Yeah, he at the beginning I could see he was kind of walking forward and preparing like the right hand, like, you know, trying to position himself to throw harder punches, you know. So I saw that and I was moving a little bit more, you know. I have to avoid that. But I knew at some point they would try to do that, you know. I was expecting, he tried to take me down once, you know, and I was expecting that, because at some point he would try, you know, when you start to, your first strategy is not working, you have to try another things, you know, and that's what he did, and it didn't work, luckily.
I mean, in heavyweight, anybody can knock anybody out, right? I mean, that's the reality of the division. But is being in there with him more tense than other fights that you've had in the past?
Not really. You know, fights fight. You know, you never know what's going to happen. Of course, you know, the main goal is to win. You know, the hardest part is the training, man. To get here and fight and be 100% to fight is already a big victory. So I'm very happy that I was able to win tonight the way I want, and move forward now. Let's see what's gonna happen.
You got a bonus as well for Friday night. Do you get to keep any of that, or does the wife take that off of the baby? How does that
even
go?
Even better. Yeah, let's see. I have to see what's gonna happen now. But that helps a lot, you know. We have to share that with the team too, you know. They are biggest part of it.
Just real quick, how hard does Lewis hit? How would you compare it? Everybody who's hit you, where do you fit him in there?
Man, he didn't hit me very hard any time, you know. He connected this one, but he wasn't that hard, you know. It was a good punch, but not that hard. I could see that he has a lot of power because of the noise of the punches, you know, crossing. Like, it was like Mike Hunt back in the day when I fought him, you know. I said, "Oh, better avoid that those things," you know. But yeah, I can see that he has a lot of power.
All right, so Junior Dos Santos, the former champ, wants to stay busy but does want to take a little bit of time off. As he said there, the birth of his baby coming, so wants to take a little bit of time and enjoy, welcome the new child to the world and then fight late summer. So sign me up. I think there's some opportunities. I think things will shake out between now and then, and we'll have a big matchup for him. So big win for Junior Dos Santos. And, listen, Derek Lewis will be back. A disappointing result for him, but as he said beforehand, he loves his contract. He's happy with the money he's making now, and he'll definitely be back. The co-main event, Elizeu Zaleski Dos Santos made quick work of Curtis Millender. Man, just made it look easy. 2 minutes, 35 seconds, the submission via rear naked choke. Zaleski Dos Santos has said all the way leading into this, listen, you know, Millender has not faced anybody like me. He hasn't faced anybody as well-rounded as me. And I think he proved right. You know, he put a stop to the hype train and proved that he is a legitimate name that needs to be noticed and respected and needs to get some attention. I mean, he really has flown under the radar, putting together this 7-fight winning streak in the UFC's welterweight division. And sure, he doesn't have the big, massive signature names on there, but man, 7 wins in a row in any division in the UFC against any stretch of opponents, any combination, has to be respected. 7 wins in a row and just, again, making quick work of Curtis Millender, man. Curtis was brimming with confidence all week long, man. I think I heard John Anik say it. I was listening to the broadcast at that point that Curtis carries himself like he knows something that you don't, and he absolutely did. He had that kind of confidence and just ran into a wrecking ball in Zaleski Dos Santos. So a big win there for him. I don't know that there's much to say. It was a dominant performance. Pretty easy to see what was here. I did speak with Elizeu afterwards and asked him, you know, hey, did you know? Because I think a lot of us, I mean, it makes sense, right? If you know that your opponent has a particular area of weakness, why wouldn't you go to that area, right? But I think a lot of us were hoping for a bit of some striking exchanges. You know, the capoeira stylist, the long, lanky kickboxer. I was anxious to see how it would all play out, to be honest with you, and anxious to see some exchanges. And Elizeu said, no, listen, I'm not saying that, he said, and of course this was through a translator, but he said that, he was ready for a fight of the night. He was ready for a war. He was ready to stand up in battle. But when opportunities present themselves, you have to take them. And Curtis Millender got a little bit too close, and I was able to drive through and take advantage of the takedown. And once there, on the back, get the choke, and yeah, man, you can't fault him for that. You can't fault him for that at all. If you see an opportunity, take it and get the win. And again, that's now 7 in a row. Again, not the huge names on there, but some respectful ones. Amari Akhmadov, Keita Nakamura, Lyman Good, Max Griffin, Sean Strickland. I mean, those are good names. Not great, not the top tier of the division. But I think Dos Santos has proven he deserves a shot at the top of the division. And he even smiled a little bit in the post-fight press conference or in the scrum back there. So not something he does a lot of. So a big win for there. You got to put him in another fight. And he said, I am ready for May in Brazil. Look, I didn't get hurt. Give me the quick turnaround. Let me fight in Rio. Give me a ranked opponent. And I'm down for that. So I think it makes sense. I mean, there still seems to be space on that card that they're filling up. This seems to be a newer star, you know, a newer contender, so to speak, that matters in the welterweight division. He doesn't speak English, so having him go fight in his home country, Might be good. I think that'd be a good spot for him. So hopefully he'll turn around. It seems there's space in that card, but sometimes the matchmakers have stuff up their sleeves that's just not booked yet. But, I think you definitely have to give him a ranked opponent next. And, of course, that trio of incredible stoppages to end the night was launched by Nico Price beating Tim Means. My God, this was a great one, man. This is one of those phenomenal one-round fights, man. 4 minutes and 50 seconds of just chaos and madness and everything that we wanted out of Nico Price versus Tim Means. I mean, when the fight was announced, we knew it was going to be all action, and it sure was. Nico Price actually ended up getting $50,000 as a performance of the night. Tim Means, it looks like he broke his ankle. If you watch the fall, ankle got twisted up real bad, and it looks like he broke it. He did get sent off to the hospital for x-rays. I tweeted that, and somebody on my timeline tweeted back and just said, hey, you don't need an x-ray. That's broke. And, I think that's probably, unfortunately, going to be the case. We'll definitely try to follow up with Tim or the medical staff here in Wichita. But just a great fight, man. Nico came out on fire, as he always does. Comes out looking to bang. Tim knew that was going to happen. He said, I know he's going to come at me. He's going to be aggressive. He's going to be crazy. He did. And Nico hurt Tim, but Tim, being the cagey veteran that he is, was able to slow things down. Then he was on the offensive, rocking Nico, and then the perfect right hand. Bop! Just, oh, devastating finish, man. It's just devastating. Crazy. Everything we would have wanted out of this fight. Nico Price, rebounding from that difficult loss that he had 43 seconds to Abdul Razak Al-Hassan back in September in Dallas. He was so frustrated by that. And this was somebody that was cool because, he said, I'm fighting a guy that I consider a legend in Tim Means, and to go out there and put in that kind of performance, man, it was if you hadn't seen this fight, hopefully stop what you're doing now and make sure you go see this fight. That's all I can say. This was a definitely phenomenal fight. And, it's funny. I ran into Nico in the hotel bar last night on Friday night. He was meeting some people there, and just quickly said hello as he was saying hello to his friends. And he's always bonus chasing. So I was like, man, you going after that 50 G's? He's like, I'm going after 100. I'm trying to get double paid. And I'll be honest with you, the fight of the night ended up going to Derek Lewis and Junior Dos Santos. I was a little surprised by that choice. I thought Tim Means and Nico Price was probably a more deserving fight of the night. Yes, it was one round, but man, epic back and forth. I don't hate the decision of Lewis and JDS. I don't hate it. It was tense. They both had moments. There was some crazy stuff in there, but I thought Means and Price maybe should have gotten Friday night. Instead, Price did get $50,000 for a performance of the night, so I'm sure he'll be happy with that. But he said he wanted the 100. I thought you could have given it to him without much argument. So anyway, definitely got to hear from Nico Price, man. The performance was great, and he is always great, man. Always just an absolute character. As I referred to him in the press room, he is batshit crazy, but he is batshit crazy in a very, very good way, man. He's just, got high spirit, high energy, respectful, of Tim Means, man. Just couldn't have asked for more, man. This was fantastic. And here's Nico Price.
Well, Nico, I mean, I think, everybody was hoping for that type of fight, was expecting it, and you guys deliver. What's your emotion like right now after a war like that?
Dude, just praising God. So excited right now. Happy that I can provide my family for another couple of years and keep going. So that's all I can say.
What was it, at the face-off yesterday? I mean, it was the most memorable face-off, of course. What was the exchange between you guys?
He, can I cuss?
Absolutely.
All right, he said, all right, let's go fuck each other up. And I was like, all right. I said, yeah, I know it's coming. And then we almost fell off stage. So
that was close.
That's why I was like, that's why we stopped and we're like, oh, and he grabbed my arm because I literally almost stepped off the stage.
That'd be great.
Because Nick wasn't ready for us to come at each other and start rubbing foreheads.
So, as you said, everybody's expecting that type of fight. Give me an idea what the emotions like right before the fight started. I mean, what's going through your head knowing I'm probably about to get punched a little bit. This is going to be tough.
Well, I accepted it. I was like, I'm about to fight a guy with 40 fights. 15 years? Yeah, oh my God. Dude, I told him after in the medic room, I was like, I snuck in there, and I was like, yo, you're the reason I am the way I am, because I've been watching you from the beginning. You know, like, I wanted to be savage like you, but now I got to be more savage than him, so because I pretty much took his title, you know. I really want to pray for him. I want to pray for his leg to heal strong and stuff, because I never want to do that to someone. But, you know, in this sport, we got to take what we can do, you know, do what we can do.
Did he, what kind of response did he have to you? I mean, I'm sure he's bummed out to lose. What kind of response did he have to you?
No, he respected me, you know. We shook hands, we hugged, and we shed a tear, you know. It was a great fight. We went in there, we both put our hearts on the line. He dropped me a little bit, I dropped him a little bit. He dropped me again, and I finished him. So it was fun, man. It was great. It was an awesome war, and I just can't be happy enough. Thank God.
What was going through your head? As you said, you know, like, you come out rushing out strong, and then he has a little comeback and wobbles you a little bit. I mean, what's going through your head that whole time?
Step back, circle, regain, circle left. Get out of the way of those hands, you know. He kept hitting me with them, and I was like, And then I just, once I caught composure, and as soon as my foot hit the cage, I won one just to get his hands up. And then right after the second one, I threw the six, and it hit him right on the button. And then from there, that's when his leg, like, got planted and yeah, nasty.
You did get the 50 G's on the
yes, front.
So
yes.
I know you got a big family to take care of and a bunch of kids, but do you treat yourself at all, or how do you spend that money?
I'm going to go, like, have fun and just take my kids out. I'm going to rest, hang out around the house for a little bit, let my body heal for once. I'm trying to start taking care of myself more, you know. I'm not jumping in 9-day notices. I'm not doing that unless it's worth it. Bring me something that's worth it, and I'll jump in. But if it's not worth it and I need to recover, I got to watch my health, man. Yeah. I'm 29. I turned 30 this year. I got to start watching that. Yeah. So, and then I got 4 kids and a beautiful wife, and I just can't be grateful enough for Jesus.
Last thing for me, I mean, you said, you know, your team said Price is going to be on that banner back there. You know, you're going to have that. What's the next move? What's the plan? You say you don't want to rush back, but, I mean, are there dates, locations, opponents? I mean, is there anything that makes sense for you right now?
Everything makes sense, you know? Any opponent on my list, if I accept it, it's going to make sense, you know? I'm not going to try to go backwards no more. I'm looking to the top. I want that belt. I want Usman. He's really cool, you know, but I got to work my way to him, and I know that. I'm not trying to say put me in there now. I still got to get better, you know, and he's a great fighter, and one day I would love to stand across the cage from him, whether he has the belt or not.
You mentioned you came in a little bit lighter for this camp.
Yeah.
It looked like it played a tremendous impact on your performance tonight, but yes. Is that something that you're going to keep with you from now on?
Yes. I'm going to start coming in. I'm going to stay around 185, and I'm not going to get in the 90s, 95s, nowhere near the 2s anymore. You know, I don't need to be that big. I'm going to stay just healthy, efficient, and just get in there and do my job. So.
Cool.
Thug life, LOLJK, hashtag that. Sorry.
All right, so Nico Price, always infectious with his energy, man. And just a phenomenal performance, man. It really was. I like what he's saying, though. You know, I want to get back. I want to stay busy. But I'm not rushing in. I got to take care of my body. You know, he had mentioned it in the pre-fight leading in about, you know, keeping himself closer to weight so he didn't have massive weight cuts. I like everything he's saying, because his fighting style, you know, it's I don't know, in a lot of ways it's maybe Justin Gaethje-esque. And his willingness to go out and bang, you know, and to really put on a show. But he's also saying, listen, I got to take care of myself and watch out for those things as well. So just been a fan of that guy. If you're a long-time listener to the MMA Roadshow, you know we've been a fan of that guy from day one. So love seeing him do well. And Tim Means, I mean, a great guy as well. And man, hopefully he's okay. It was a big knockout, and it did look like he broke his ankle. So certainly wishing speedy recovery for him. By the way, I should say shout out to my homie, Anthony Beach, the folks at Latchkey Brewing in San Diego, California. If you're out there in San Diego, make sure you hit them up at 2120 West Washington Street. And if you want to talk beer or talk MMA, or you want to get some insight, make sure you add my boy Anthony on Instagram, anthony.m.beach. Latchkey Brewing, of course. Good friends of the MMA Roadshow sent us out a nice little care package in recent weeks, and I brought a little bit of that care package with me up here to Wichita, Kansas. Tonight, it's a monkey's uncle. A Trappist-inspired Belgian triple at 9%, my friends. We're losing an hour of sleep tonight. We're losing an hour of frosty beverage time to this damn daylight savings time thing. So I figured I better step my game up, get this 9%er going. Anthony, he's got the tasting notes here. To me, it's just good. But he says it's a very dry taste. There's a little bit of a clove flavor to it, and it's easy drinking for such a high ABV. And I'll have to say, I agree. It's a crazy this is 9%. Sometimes they taste a little strong, a little too much. This goes down easy, man. Goes down easy. Yeah, Latch Key Brewing. Make sure you hit them up if they're in San Diego. Make sure you hit up Anthony Beach if you just want to talk some beer, get some advice. The dude knows his beverages, man. He brews the stuff himself, makes it from scratch. And he can tell you about some stuff. So, all right, listen. The man of the week for me in many ways was Ben Rothwell. Coming back from this USADA suspension, the very, you know, I don't want to say odd, but very intense demeanor that he had with us in the pre-fight media session when he, you know, didn't really want to talk much. And, you know, I totally understood, man. It was very apparent that he's been dealing with some depression, been dealing with some emotional issues, that sort of thing. And, you know, this was his big combat, so to speak. And it didn't go well, man. The result did not go well for him. He was intense. He was moving forward. He was aggressive. He was looking to strike from range. And it looked like to me that he was getting points, that he was adding up. And then the score comes out, and he loses. Clear, 29-28 across the board. Unanimous decision. Not even split. Not one judge saw it in his favor. But here's what's interesting. Not one judge saw the fight the same way either. Even though it's three scores of 29-28 for Blagoy Ivanov, here's how the scoring went. Kevin Champion gave Ivanov rounds 2 and 3. Derek Cleary gave Ivanov rounds 1 and 2. And Sal D'Amato gave Ivanov rounds 1 and 3. So every scorecard was a little bit different. And it's crazy when you see it. I guess it just goes to show, you know, how close the fight was. Visibly, man, Ivanov was busted up. If you want to go see the video on MMA Junkie or on the YouTube page, I mean, two black eyes, busted up. I mean, he was getting touched. But he did start to find a range, and I'll give him credit for that. I will definitely give him credit for starting to find his range. If you go to now it's UFCstats.com. I didn't even realize they changed it. I thought it was Fight Metric. Anyway, UFCstats.com. If you go to UFCstats.com, they'll tell you right now that Blagoy Ivanov had 72 significant strikes over the course of three rounds, that Ben Rothwell had 70. That's how close it was. That's how close it was. So, Rothwell was the one moving forward. Rothwell was the one who was kind of setting the tempo, but Ivanov did counter. Now, we at MMA Junkie, and it was Steven Morocco who was doing the play-by-play tonight, he had Rothwell winning 29-28. He gave Rothwell rounds 1 and 2, and he gave Blagoy round 3. So, close fight, man. I don't want to call it a robbery, you know, because I think it was too close to label it that, and I hate when that word's kind of thrown out irresponsibly, but I was perhaps a little bit surprised that that was the score that was given. And I was bummed for Ben Rothwell, man. You could see the look on his face. And to be honest with you, I wanted him to win just so he had to come back and talk to us again. I wanted him to do another interview and see if that would kind of open him up a little bit. You know, if he would able to address some of the stuff that he didn't want to talk about ahead of time. And that didn't happen. So I was bummed. I was not scoring round by round because I was editing video in the back and doing that. But, you know, in my head, not watching as close as I would if I was doing what Steven Morocco was doing tonight, doing the play-by-play. But in my head, I felt like Ben had done enough to win the fight. So I was a little bit surprised. I mean, happy for Blagoy. You know, he trains out at Extreme Couture. I see him quite a bit. So obviously happy for him. But, man, tough night at the office for Ben Rothwell. And it's sad because, again, I think in the pre-fight you could see kind of the emotion welling up, man, and just the way he was talking, it just didn't sound like a guy who was in a good mental state. And I cannot imagine this is going to help much, man, and I hate that Because Ben Rothwell has always been a good dude, and I think it's a bummer that that this happened. So, back to the drawing board, man. Hopefully he rebounds quickly. Hopefully the UFC can book him with something, and he can fight again and try to snap out of this funk, man. Because, I don't know Ben outside of just the media sessions and things of that nature, but in the emotion and the headspace that he seemed to be ahead of the fight, I would think that he would not want to go back and sit around the house for a long time afterwards. Hopefully he'll get something soon. But Neil Dariush, talking about another great fight, but Neil Dariush, who did pick up a $50,000 performance tonight bonus as well for his victory over Drew Dober, a second round submission win that was fun, man. Drew Dober, man, he was a guy too that had just a little swag about him all week, brimming with confidence, and man, came out looking good. Just the strikes were there, and he rocked Beneil right away. And man, you could see Beneil kind of reminded me of Cody Garbrandt the other night. You know, Beneil gets tagged, and instead of trying to slow things down or whatever, it's like he just digs into the pocket and just starts banging back, and then catches himself and realizes, oh my gosh, I should not be doing that. And I thought a very, very wise decision there. So, but a great start from Drew Dober. And Beneil Dariush able to survive that, able to regain his wits, and then he gets the fight to the floor in the second round and goes through a sequence of submissions, finally getting a very difficult angled armbar. Man, it was a beautiful finish. And Beneil said he actually heard Drew Dober's elbow popping a couple times before he finally tapped. So he said kudos to Drew for just being a tough guy, man. Much respect between these two guys. No trash talk. Really just a lot of love between the two and a lot of respect. And I thought that was cool. And Beneil cashed the $50,000 bonus as well. And I think, maybe showing some people he's got a little bit better chin than what people gave him credit for. They said it was gone, said he had nothing, and now he's showing, no, hey, listen, I can take a shot and keep moving. So I had a chance to talk to Beneil after the fight as well. He explained a little bit of what he thinks, why maybe the chin seemed like it wasn't there. It needs to be coming back. And also his, his attitude about martial arts and about respect and that sort of thing. So here's Beneil Dariush.
Big victory for you this evening, man. I mean, a heck of a fight to get there, too. Give me an idea how you're feeling right now.
Man, this guy, Drew, he came out hard. I really felt like in the beginning I'm gonna find my distance and I'm gonna start touching him up, but he came fast. And he hit me good. I don't know what else to say. He hit me good. I was going to try to do a little bit more jab in and out, but he feinted really well, and he was able to get inside and hit me. So it went into the grappling. I felt I had a couple of good strikes standing as well, but he definitely hit me good in the first round. I did feel him kind of slow down before we went into the second round, but yeah.
How concerned were you when you did get touched up early? And I guess, nobody wants to go out there and get punched in the face, but is it good to maybe show, hey, I got a little more chin than you give me credit for?
So that's what I was worried about. My neck gave me a lot of problems, and it gave me problems with my chin. I would get hit sometimes, and my arm would go numb. I would get hit sometimes, and I couldn't move forward anymore. But that's gone, so I'm pretty grateful for that. And, when I was younger, someone would hit me, and I'd be just like, I'm gonna murder you. I'm coming after you. A little bit of that tonight. When I got hit, I grabbed him for a second, but I just thought to myself, I'm gonna get my turn, and when I get my turn, I'm gonna hurt you. And it didn't work so much with my hands, but it worked with the submissions.
Yeah, the grappling was great. I mean, was that an adjustment, going between rounds, or did you kind of know that's where you might have an advantage? How did that play out?
Watching his fights, I was actually expecting him to shoot on me. I wasn't expecting to shoot on him as much. I know body locks were going to go back and forth because he likes those positions fine. But, when I went for the body lock, he defended the body lock really well. But when I switched to the legs, I think he was looking to finish the fight with a guillotine. And it's really, man, I've had a lot of experience with guillotines. A lot of guys try that on me. And I was able to use that to reverse him and get back on top. And I could just feel it on top. I didn't need to submit him in the beginning. I just needed to keep improving my position. And every time I improved my position, he'd work his way back, and then I would improve it again. And that was worse than me just standing up there and hitting him. He got totally drained, and that kind of gave me the finish.
Yeah, I think you said he was tired afterwards. Talk about the submission. I mean, very, very slick work there. Were you afraid you were losing position, or did you feel like you had him trapped?
I mean, someone told, I heard someone say 1 minute, 40 seconds. And the Kimura trap is something I'm very familiar with. A teammate of mine, a very good friend of mine, Tamim, Tamim Hamoui, he always has me, he's had me work that. And the reverse triangle was something I recently added to it. So I hit the reverse triangle, and then I hit like a Kimura Americana. And I heard his elbow pop maybe four or five times, and he didn't tap. So I'm wondering if he actually tapped from the choke because the choke finished him, or it was the final tap of the final pop on the arm. I'm gonna have to ask him, but honestly, I don't know.
Man, you guys talked afterwards. We could hear that, you know, you were like, hey, it's great to have, you know, respectful opponents and stuff. Just wondering, I mean, is that, I don't know, like you want to like draw attention to it or a cause. I mean, there's this time. It's this time in MMA, right, where it's just like entertainment, trash talking era. Like, is that something you almost want to take a stand against in a way?
100%. Look, when it comes to competition, when it comes to fighting, I'm as savage as you're gonna get. I'm okay with hitting you. I'm okay with you getting hit. I'm okay with cuts, broken leg, broken nose, and I've broken my nose 5-6 times. But I don't need to verbally assault somebody. I don't need to say anything bad about somebody to get inside and do that. And if you feel the necessity to do that, maybe it's for you're hoping, you know, hype up the fight. You're hoping for more money. Whatever it is. If you think it's worth selling yourself out, go for it. But I'm not selling myself out so I can make a little bit more money, but I'm not selling my character out for that. So that's just me.
Yeah, you caught us for a second. You said I had a call out. I said, no, he doesn't have a call out.
Yeah, man. My niece turns four tonight, and they had her birthday today because it's Saturday. And last time I missed the wedding. This time I missed my niece's birthday. But go home. I'm gonna give her a big hug. I'm gonna hold her all day. I'm not gonna let her get away from me. So technically tomorrow is her birthday. So I'll make sure to be there, put her to bed, and just read a book to her. And it's gonna be perfect. I gotta get her a gift though.
And last thing for me, I mean, obviously things are different. You're on a win streak. It's totally different than it was last year. Give me an idea where the career goes from here. I mean, what's the idea? Are there locations, dates, opponents? I mean, what do you think makes sense?
I think tossing me back in quickly makes sense, but I always think that. that's my preference. As far as opponents goes, doesn't matter. You can give me number 100, you can give me number one. I'm going to work my way down either way. So I'm going to get there either way. So just let's keep it going.
Just going back to the submission real quick, were you surprised that he did tap when he finally hit?
Yeah, because I mean, I popped the arm four times, maybe five times. I lost count of the pops, so I was like, he's not going to tap. We're going into the next round. Cool. Whatever. I mean, I'm squeezing. But then all of a sudden, I see his hand tapping. I'm not sure how much time was left. So I was squeezing really hard with my legs, but I was also really pulling hard on his elbow. I really don't know what caused him to tap, if it was a choke or if it was his arm.
All right, so a big win there for a great guy, Benil Dariush, man. Gotta love him, man. He's got a great attitude. And Drew Dober will be back, man. Drew Dober, you know, I think I think this is one of those performances where you don't lose a lot of stock, man. He was taking on a big name, and I thought he looked sharp before he got finished. So I don't think Drew Dober slides down, man. If anything, hopefully he takes some positive out of this because I thought it was a good performance. Omari Akhmadov cruised to a decision win over Tim Boach. It had been a long time since Omari Akhmadov had fought, as well. And, I just thought he controlled here. Man, just messed up Tim Boach's nose. But Boach, of course, tough as nails, you know, would not go away and continued on. And Omari had to settle for a decision. Omari afterwards said, listen, I am healthy. Look, I do have Ramadan coming up, so I want to take Ramadan off. So I'd like to fight before May. He said, listen, if there's room on that St. Petersburg card next month, I'll take that. He's like, if there's room on that Florida card, I'll take that. So he's hoping to get a quick turnaround, maybe get something booked before Ramadan, and then come back afterwards. And I thought he looked really good in this fight. Another guy, you know, I said Ben Rothro was kind of the man of the week, and he definitely was. But another guy that was snagging some headlines and continues to be a favorite, Anthony Rocco Martin, or as he says, just call me Rocco. So Rocco picks up the win over Sergio Moraes. A good performance by Rocco. You know, he did get down on the ground early on, which is a dangerous place to be against Sergio Moraes, especially when you're dry and it's early and it's tougher to slip out. Not a place you want to play, but Anthony was – Rocco, I even almost called him Tony, was able to survive. And then, you know, was able to pick him apart on the feet. And it just kind of cruised to a decision win, man. I thought it was a good win. Sergio Moraes is a fighter I have a lot of respect for. I will say, you know, I thought Sergio looked a little flat, and maybe that goes back to the weight cut. Sergio did not look good at weigh-ins. He, you know, just incredibly relieved to make weight, and it looked like it had been a struggle. And I didn't talk to him afterwards, but just visibly, it didn't look good. And I thought he looked a little flat. And I'm not saying that to take away from Rocco, because I think it's a good win either way. But just something to note, you know, when you're reviewing this fight or thinking about this fight in your memory. So either way, it's another big win for Rocco. He continues to gain steam, and you know, again, putting together a nice little win streak. He's at welterweight. He says he feels a ton better. He's got a little swag to his step, man. I like his attitude. He's, of course, he's got this name change. Kayla Harrison is helping him out. You know, I think kind of media coaching him a little bit and helping him to get a little bit more vocal. So it's been a fun ride to watch. He says, put me on the Minnesota card coming up. You know, that's where I started my martial arts career, and I want to be on that card in Minnesota. They got to put me there. And he said he'd like to be against a ranked opponent. So, you know, that definitely does seem like something that can make sense. I will say he did probably have one failure, and that was his joke about Toto, we're not in Brazil anymore. Well, it turns out that Kayla Harrison took the blame for that. She said it was her idea and that the joke definitely fell flat, that nobody else laughed except for her. Now, some of the local media, they did kind of say, well, guys, we're here in Kansas. You don't think we've heard a Wizard of Oz joke or two along the way? I thought, yeah. Probably not the most original thing, is it? So it fell flat, but it was funny. Afterwards, we did talk to Rocco about his performance, and we did ask him as well about the joke and what happened. He had a pretty funny story about it. Meanwhile, Kayla was in the back, and she was behind us. You couldn't hear the audio very well, but she was apologizing. So anyway, look, Rocco's quickly becoming one of my favorites. So here's what he had to say after the win.
What's going on, Rocco? Yeah.
Rocco.
Another big win for you, man. Give us a feel to get this latest victory.
Yeah, I mean, it feels good, you know, 4-0 at welterweight. Obviously, you know, I'm looking for the finish always. I think that, you know, I was just picking them apart so well where I was just like, hey, it's working. I'm just going to stick this. And this, like I said, this is how my game plan is going in every fight. I'm just going to keep it on the feet. If I feel like I'm losing on the feet, I'm going to take it to the ground. So ideally, I just stayed on the feet the whole time. You got that early cheap takedown. I wasn't very happy about that, but I came up, you know, he latched on that guillotine, and I feel like I'm almost impossible to guillotine, so it was it worked out well, but he refused to let go of the head, so it was nice that ref finally jumped in and stood us up.
I was gonna say, I mean, I can't imagine that. I know you're confident in yourself, but staying away from that position I would think would be wise. I mean, when you're in the early grappling exchange, was there any concern like what am I doing here?
That early in the fight, there's always a little bit of concern, you know. It's like you don't want to take any unnecessary chances, especially when we're very dry. But you know, I'm very confident in my grappling game. You know, I started with Brock Larson 7-8 years ago now, so I'm very highly confident in that department, and I think that I can grapple anyone in the world.
Okay. Leg kicks were a big part of your success as well. Did you know that was going to be the case? Was that the game plan, or is that something you kind of...
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that if they start compensating too much for my leg kicks, the right hand starts landing. Then the right hand starts landing, then the low kicks, they start, you know, missing that right hand, then I know the low kicks are there. So it's kind of one of those things where he was defending that right hand very well, so I just started throwing those calf kicks that me and Mike Brown work every single day, and Thiago Alves. It's a huge ATT thing. It's been a staple there now, and eventually I imagine that everyone's going to start throwing them.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I know you didn't get the finish you wanted, but overall, I mean, grade yourself. I mean, it was a dominant win over a talented guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's very good. You know, I think, you know, I'd give myself probably like a B+, A- or something, just because I knew that, you know, I stuck to the game plan. I stuck to the game plan, and I fought very smart, and then, you know, I was beating him up, and I think I outclassed a very high level fighter.
Yeah, the Wizard of Oz joke fell a little flat.
Correct? It did. They didn't get it. I don't know what happened. Honestly, this was one of those things where first I messed up Toto like 15 times when we were practicing, and I keep saying Tito. They're like, "Where's Tito? Like, who's Tito?" So I'm asking Mike about three times before I get on this mic, being like, Toto, Tito, Toto. And he's like, Toto, 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 Toto. So, but no, I don't know. I thought it'd be a hit here for sure, and they didn't. No one got it.
That was the only downside of the performance.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. I thought I nailed that one, but yeah, you know. Oh, jeez. Yeah, it didn't work. It didn't work.
No good. Well, I know you said before the fight, and you said again after Minnesota, it's got to be Minnesota.
Yep.
Is there a matchup that makes sense? I mean, are there names, ideas?
Man, I think that they have to give me someone in the top 15. You know, I think that I need to be on that ESPN card to try to get as much viewership as possible. You know, I think that now is my time. I really need to make a push, and I just need an opportunity. And an opportunity has to be someone that's ranked and give me a high spot on the ESPN card.
Yeah, and last thing for me, I mean, do you feel the support? I mean, I feel like we've... through this win streak, the name change, you're getting a little more vocal. It seems like, man, there's like this groundswell support around you. Are you feeling
I'm
it?
Forcing them, man. I'm telling you, I'm doing everything I can to be like, listen, I've always believed. It's just time for them to get on board and start believing in me. And this is a thing that it's definitely my time. And like you said, I did this, you know, this fight card and everything. I feel like, you know, they've given me a lot more press. And, you know, they've been sharing stuff on Instagram. And they're finally going to get me verified. So it's kind of one of those things. Man, I'm telling you, it's been a struggle. I've been in the deep end trying to dig out of the hole I dug early on in my career. And I think I'm flying out. And they're like, who is this guy? You know, they might, I think they could see that, you know, this might be someone special.
I know you want to get on the Minneapolis card, but what about the Chicago card, man?
Man, I love Chicago, and I grew up there till eighth grade, but I started my MMA career in Minnesota, and I think that it's just pure destiny for, you know, I have a school with Brock Larson in Minnesota together, and I think that, you know, it just fully makes sense, and the Chicago card's a little bit too close to my girlfriend's fight card, so she might try to kill me if I do that. So I think that Minneapolis card is... you know, it's just destiny. I think there's not a bigger star in Minnesota, and I think that it's my time, and it's time for me to represent.
All right, so that was one of our new favorites, Rocco. Don't call him Anthony Rocco Martin. He's just Rocco. Listen, while that was going on, in the meantime, got a visitor here in the MMA Roadshow studios. Joe from H-Town dropped by. He made the drive all the way up from Houston, Texas. He's got some frosty beverages in hand. That's how we do. So we're gonna bust through this. So myself and Joe can down through a couple of these frosty beverages. He was bummed out. He was here to support his man Derek Lewis, who of course came up short in the main event. All right, listen. Carrying on with the card, Yana Kuniskaya did pick up a decision win over Marion Renault. Marion Renault absolutely gutted at this decision. But I gotta say, I think it all comes down to how you score the second round. And it was a close fight, and it was a close round, man. And you know, I think the crowd hated the decision because Yana Kuniskaya was busted up, man, just bloodied everywhere. And I think anytime you have those kind of visuals, you know, you want to lean in one direction. But I got to say, watching that second round, I thought Yana Kuniskaya did just enough to win that round. And I think rounds one and three were pretty clear. It all comes down to how you score at rounds round two. And all three judges did give it to Yana Kuniskaya. I thought it was as well. I wouldn't have hated it if it went the other way. I think if Marion Renault just would have been a little bit busier with her hands there, she might have gotten the nod there in the second round and she would have won the fight. So she was absolutely gutted. But I saw she had a classy message on social media afterwards, said, you know, listen, we're going after it. We'll be humble. Victory, defeat. And it was happy to see for Yana Kuniskaya. Again, she trains at Extreme Couture now, so I see her there. And I swear, man, she's there longer than any of the other pros in there, man. So she's always on the grind. So you always got to respect that and happy when you see people making those sacrifices. So close fight, but I did not think it was a bad decision. Grant Dawson picked up a win over Julian Arosa as well. That was a phenomenal. I thought that was a early fight of the night contender, which is crazy because there was a 30-26 in there. Grant Dawson, you know, really looks the part of a top prospect. And picked up a win here over Julian Arosa. But along the way, man, Julian Arosa just, to me, showed a lot of grit, a lot of determination, man. And I thought he made it an entertaining fight. It was clear who the winner was. Grant was the one that was able to get the fight to the floor. He was able to do damage. He just wasn't able to control it all the time. So, you know, I thought that kind of back and forth made it kind of fun. But Grant Dawson, the clear winner there. And James Krause, by the way, his coach, came back with him as well. And it was cool. Krause ended up being kind of a guest fighter, so to speak, as well. He had done some appearances out here, and he did a quick scrum with the media. That's up on YouTube. He did say, listen, he loves coaching as much as he does fighting these days, but he will fight again maybe this summer. He said, look, I'm not going away anytime soon. I'm not retiring. But, you know, I'm not in a need to fight all the time. I get just as much joy and pleasure out of coaching and watching these young guys develop as I do competing myself. So, you know, I'm not in any rush to fight, but he will still be competing. Maurice Greene picked up a split decision win over Jeff Hughes. A clear win here for Maurice Greene, I thought. I was a little surprised with the split decision result, but I did think the right person was selected as the winner. Maurice Greene, an interesting character, man. If you want to check out his scrum, definitely go do that. It's up on MMA Junkie. It's on the YouTube as well. A funny guy, a big dude, number one. He was a little bit apologetic for not being in the greatest of shape for that fight. But he was happy with his performance. Of course, it was a rematch of a fight he had lost on the regional stage, so he was able to get that back. He did actually come in and have a Derek Lewis moment back in the back. He basically took his cup off right in front of us before he did his scrum. I guess he said, "I'm sorry, guys, but there's a strap here on my cup that is kind of bothering me in some sensitive areas. It's pressing up against some stuff." So he took off his shorts and took his cup off and then put his shorts back on and came and did the scrum. So Maurice Greene, there you go. He's a character. He was ready for a cold beer, I can tell you that afterwards. So kind of a funny cat. You know, he rubbed some people the wrong way on The Ultimate Fighter. He's definitely got a certain personality about him. But he was having some fun in the back. He said, by the way, much like Rocco, that he really wants to be on that card up in Minnesota as well. So he said, "You cannot come to Minnesota and not have the Crochet Boss on the card, so you got to put me there." Matt Schnell picked up a submission win over Louis Smolka. Very, very impressive performance by Matt Schnell. I was gutted for Louis Smolka. You know, we know the story of getting back here and kind of what it meant for him to make sacrifices, make changes to his life to end up being able to get back to the UFC. But, man, Schnell was able to dominate on the ground, which I wasn't so sure that would be his best avenue, but a big, big win for there. And look, Matt Schnell, a guy too, man, well-spoken, smart, man. I really enjoyed the two conversations I had with him this week. Just a good dude, and incredibly well-spoken, like I said, and has his head on his shoulders, says, believes his career is moving in the right direction. Alex Morono got the verbal submission of Zach Otto, round one finish there as well. Dominant performance there as well. Alex Morono was having some success on the feet. Zach Otto shot in. Morono was able to turn the tide there and just vicious ground and pound. Busted up Otto pretty quickly, man. There was a lot of cuts and blood done in very, very little time. And Alex Morono credited a lot of his success to working at Fortis MMA. So another one of these Texas boys that's making his way out to Fortis MMA, man. That squad continues to get bigger and better all the time, man. They're doing big, big things there in my hometown of Dallas. So shout out to them. Much respect. And Alex Morono afterwards, man, just a good kid. He called out. And I don't even want to say called out. Called out's not the right word. He said he wanted to fight Diego Sanchez. Diego's an OG, and he's got to respect. You know, he said, "Listen, I am a fan of the sport. I started doing it because I just love watching it. And to get in there with Diego Sanchez would be an absolute honor." So he said he wanted to do that. It's a fight that he's been wanting for a while. So a big win for him there. It was a submission due to strikes, but basically a knockout TKO win. And he said that was his dream to get that kind of a finish. So he did here in Wichita. And the night started out with Alex White and Dan Moret. Hard fight battle between those guys. Dan Moret just couldn't get the takedowns that he wanted. Ended up making it a real grinding affair, man, just going for the takedown over and over and over, which led to some stalemates, led to some pause in action. But Alex White was able to grind through there. And I thought, man, landed some really nice short punches on the inside as he was kind of getting out of space. So I thought it was a great performance from Alex White. That dude is always coming to bang as well, man. You always know if he's on the card. You're going to get some fun fights. So, anyway, listen, overall, like I said, you know, may have drug here and there in parts, but I thought overall it was a fun night. And, of course, it did end in pretty spectacular fashion. So, not if you're cheering for the Houston man in Derek Lewis like Joe from H-Town was, but nevertheless, it was fun anyway. So, all right, listen, my man's here. We're going to go get some frosty beverages. I think there's still a few people hanging out in the hotel bar downstairs, so we might try to see if we can get any further updates from the crew down there, see how things are doing. But for everybody else, thanks for listening.
L-E-D-E-N-D-Z.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.